followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. So John and Peter came, and it ended up being John went inside to see more up close what was happening with Jesus. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. Isn't that amazing how quickly we can go from, Lord, I'll never deny thee. I'll never, ever go against you. I'll always be true. To, no, I'm not one of his disciples. Verse 18, and the servant and officer stood there who made a fire of coal, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now, what do you reckon the topic of conversation was? What do you reckon the topic of conversation was around the fire? Was it who was going to win the rugby game the next day? Probably not. It was about Jesus. And if you'll think, Peter was quick. John was quick. The disciples were quick. Anytime anyone would dare say a word against Jesus, at other times they would say, hey, don't you say that. Lord, do you want us to rain fire down from heaven? James and John said. On those that opposed him, and now Peter says nothing. Verse number 19. That's okay. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogues and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I've said unto them. Behold, they know what I've said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, if I've spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. And Simon Peter, now we go back outside, we go to Simon Peter. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. And they said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? And he denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being the kinsman, he was a cousin or something of the guy who Peter cut off his ear. Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Seems like I remember you cutting off my cousin's ear. Verse 27, then Peter denied again. He swore that time. I swear by God, he said, that I'm not one of his disciples. And immediately the cock crew. Tonight, I want to talk to you briefly, and we may do this again. I want to talk to you briefly about being willing to suffer for Jesus' name. Being willing to suffer for Jesus' name. And what got me on this thought is, as I was studying for baptism and the thoughts for this morning, some believers in a part in Asia that would not accept Christians I read their story, and we'll read the story of Anna a little bit. So Anna, she was asked three questions. Do you believe that Jesus is the Savior of your life? Anna's response was yes. Now here she is. She's secretly getting baptized. If those in authority find out, she could be imprisoned, she could be beaten, she could lose her things, she could be ostracized by family. But she's wanting to obey the Lord. She's wanting to be baptized. Do you believe that only through Jesus' blood you can enter heaven after death? Yes. Do you accept that you are sinful and you only can be saved by Jesus' name? Yes. Anna, who had waited for over 2 years to be baptized, was baptized in a group of three others who witnessed her baptism. So we're looking at tonight persecution for Jesus' sake. First thing I want you to notice is that persecution of Christians is normal in over 60 countries of the world. Persecution of Christians is normal in over 60 countries of the world. Second thing I want you to notice is that persecution of God's people occurred in the Old Testament. Can you think of someone that was persecuted in the Old Testament? Mr. Benora. Esther? For her, yes. The Jews in the book of Esther? Yes, absolutely. Anyone else? Hey, Daniel? Persecuted for his beliefs? Absolutely. I heard it. King David? Absolutely. He surely was. Jeremiah, as he was told to go and be a witness to the Jewish people, he was speaking to them about their sin. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, was abused by his own people. And yet the Lord said to him, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Don't let the scowl, don't let the grumpy face, when you're telling them that they need to repent, don't you let that bother you one bit. You keep on going forward. 1 Kings 19 is another one. You'll remember how that Elijah defeated 400 of Jezebel's false prophets and killed those false prophets, he killed those false prophets. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "You know how you've killed mine? You're going to be dead just like them by tomorrow. Just wait, I promise." That struck fear in Elijah, and he ran for his life. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 37 through 39, says that, talking about those that lived before, that they were stoned. They were sown asunder. What does that mean? Sown asunder. That they were cut in two. And Isaiah is said, according to church history, that he was cut in two for his stand for God, for his being faithful to the Lord. Matthew 5, 11 and 12 says, "Blessed are men are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all matter of evil against you falsely for my sake." So let's go through this, okay? They're making fun, they're putting down, they're making them feel like trash. They're persecuting them. They're saying all manner of evil against them falsely for his sake. He says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So they said all manner of evil. They said they lied about them. Do you ever have anyone to say false things about you? Now, if they're true, we need to make them right. If we're accused of something and we've done the wrong thing, that's different. Persecution of God's people occurred during the early church. Persecution of God's people occurred during the early church. Acts 4, 17 and 18. The religious leaders came to the apostles and said, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. Do you remember what they said, their response? I couldn't include everything. Do you remember their response? "Yeah, we hear you. Whether it's right for you to, whether you think it's right for us to obey you instead of God, we're going to obey God rather than men." Acts chapter 9, more persecution in Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. He says, "I verily," in verse 26:9, this is after he's gotten saved. But by the way, why might an unsaved person give you a hard time? And we're going to look at several very quickly at the end, but why might they give you a hard time? Well, it could be that they're just exceedingly mad at you. And that's exactly what Saul was. He was exceedingly mad at anybody that believed in Jesus. In fact, he said that he did many things contrary to the name of Jesus. He just hated Jesus' name. Herod, in Acts chapter 12, he reached out, he killed James, and he said, "That worked well. Everybody made him happy, so I'll kill Peter too." But God said no. By the way, if the Lord lets somebody give you a hard time for being a Christian at work, God's allowing it. So use that as an opportunity. Use that as a privilege, as an opportunity to be a witness. So he wanted to take Peter. He took Peter, but the Lord delivered Peter. Acts chapter 9, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake." So Paul had to suffer in the early church. And then persecution should be expected and will be worse and worse the nearer we get to the Lord's return. I must admit, here in Australia, in America, where I grew up, we had a Bible club before on Tuesdays before school every morning. Some of us guys and just anyone that wanted to get together, we would get together and we would talk about the Bible and have a prayer, and it was well accepted. In fact, we did assemblies where at Easter, at Christmas, where we could talk freely about Jesus. Here in Australia, You know, some of our young people in high school that go to private or public schools, they have Bible clubs before school that they attend. They look at the Bible, they read and they pray, and they talk about the Lord here in Australia. We don't know what it's like. We've grown up with a culture that's, even when it's against Christianity, it's not been strong enough to try to stamp us out. It's coming, though. It's coming, though, that it will get worse and worse to where that in Paul's day, I remember Brother Wally pointing this out one time when we were talking at one of our pastor's meetings. He said when Paul was serving, no one was a believer. They called Christianity the way. Very few people were following the way at the time. And so really, culture, everyone, for the most part, was unsaved. And Paul, if he wanted to talk about Jesus, he was persecuted for it. Notice it says in John 15:18, if the world hate you, you know it hated me before it hated you. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. They will. Acts 26:11 says, and this is Paul's testimony before he was gloriously saved. He punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them unto strange cities. He hated Christians. He hated Christians, and he basically felt like he was giving them what they deserved, which was, in his eyes, judgment. So the last thing tonight, one writer said this: what is it that causes people to want to persecute a believer? Well, the fact that the message of the gospel confronts sin and evil. The message of the gospel confronts sin and evil. The second thing, a countercultural way of life. If at work, at school, it's just common for people to lie, to steal, to talk badly about the boss, to undercut, to undermine, to be mean, and you don't do that, people feel it. You walk away and don't participate. They feel that. They feel the condemnation. Hey, he's not going like the rest of us. They feel that. They strike out. Fear of loss of power. And then the last one, spiritual warfare. We are in a spiritual warfare. And let me ask you something this evening. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Will you be a disciple of Jesus even if it's going to cost you? Now, if you are a slack worker at work, or you do the wrong thing at school and you get in trouble for it, or you get reprimanded at work for it or something like that, don't say, I'm being persecuted for Christ. Say, I need to do better. I need to do better. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm going to do better. But are we willing? I think it's easy to be like Peter. Aren't you one of his disciples too? No. So this evening, let's know that the Lord knows we're going to face persecution. He's going to be with us in that persecution, and he will give us the grace to face that persecution. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for your goodness and care. Thank you, Lord, that you do care about us. And Lord, you do want us to be light. You do want us to be salt. And sometimes when light exposes sin, those that are doing the sin get mad. When people that are living wrongly are rebuked, even by not saying something, even just by a right life, help us to be willing to be persecuted, to be willing to suffer. Paul suffered enormously. The Lord said, I'm going to show him the great things he's going to suffer for me. He's a chosen vessel. So Lord, whatever persecutions you allow to come our way, help us to be faithful. Help us to be like Anna and be willing to do the right thing, even if it costs us. Thank you for each one here tonight, and I pray that you would bless our night, our week ahead, and the business meeting as well. We thank you for your faithfulness. Amen. Thank you very much for coming. Now, everyone is welcome to stay for the business meeting. I don't have popcorn or anything like that. Sorry. But if you'd like to stay for the business meeting, you are certainly welcome to, but you certainly don't have to. We'll hand out the forms in the back, and then in maybe 2 or 3 minutes, we'll get our business meeting started. Thanks, everyone. We'll start at 10.
don't want to have food. I was not missing anyone on purpose there.
Okay. Thank you for being here tonight. We shall consider ourselves in conference because we've met for that purpose after church. Through this time, we're going to have the presentation of the financial report.
Some of you may not have. Some of you may not have the whole report. If you don't, you have the front page.
If you don't have it and would like to have the whole one, just see me, okay? The whole one breaks down everything, okay? So, thank you, Brother Robert. Just wait. Okay, let me explain what you've got before you first. The first two pages are what we're doing tonight. And then you have the financial stuff, and then the minutes, and that's what we're doing, okay? And then the other stuff. Okay, thank you.
Okay, financial reports from November last year to January this year. So in the building fund, in the 3 months, it decreased by $3,200. So the new balance in the building fund is now $20,700. So as agreed, the previous business meeting 3 months ago, the reason it went down was that $20,000 was transferred from the building fund to the general fund, because the general fund, we did a lot of expenses for the church house and that, it was negative. Also, there's a $300,000 fixed term deposit. It's going to mature at the end of April this year, so mature before the next meeting. So we should get an interest of $11,700 there. The general fund was an increase of $24,983, so most of that was from the $20,000 from the building fund. The new balance is $19,500. So expenditures was normal electricity bills, Optus, Southern Church fine. The hall and house expenses totaled $249. The first part of the Voltec sound system repairs was $1,000, was there. Audio cables was $46. The headphone microphone was $666. Termites gone is just to do the inspection of the hall for termites, and the garden bags goes for at least 6 months, the garden bags there. We got a GST reimbursement of $376. The mission fund was a decrease of $144, so it's a new balance of $19,130. So this fund supports Camp Benoit, the missionaries, Portillo's, Harrison's, and Otoa families in Africa, as well as J.D. Clark, who comes and helps here from Ingham. So we pay them $200 a month, and the Gill family in there at $150 a month. We had $193 from Containers for Cash this last 3 months, and we gave all our missionaries an extra $40 for Christmas with their regular December support. Pastors fund increased by $2,000, so now we have $45,000 there. So it supports our pastor at $400 a month. We have people give anonymous gifts to the pastor, and when they get that, the gifts are withdrawn and given straight to Brother Kelly. The only expenditure we had was $400, where Mervyn came to Townsville two times for two Sundays. Now, we have so much money put aside for the pastor's discretion to use to pay for people to come to help preach. So at the end of 2025, it was $8,165. So every year we increased that by another $5,000. So when we did the next report, it'd be $5,000 more on the $8,000. The youth fund, There was a decrease of $9,400, a new balance of $14,148. Expenditures for youth activities was $922. It was the final $200 for Santiago and Melissa when they were helping us, but that's since stopped. And the main expenditure was due to the $10,000 to Andrew to help build the playground. That included the materials, his labour, and fixing and paint, which he got out the back. So the total balance in the cheque account at the end of January was $119,286. From this money's come from the money's that